Listen to article. FAQs. Why are rectal suppository? If you take something orally, through the mouth, all the ingredients are digested and broken down, enzymes in saliva, stomach acid, enzymes in the gut, liver, before reaching the body. The so-called portal circulation delivers all absorbed food from the gut to the liver first. Rectal suppositories avoid the gut, the portal circulation and the liver, and the ingredients are delivered straight from the rectum to the whole body. Intravenous IV application is the most direct route to flood the whole body with any compound, but it requires a specialized clinic and often, like in the case of chelation, the amount of ingredients reaching the body just too fast. A much slower rate of infusion would be preferable for medical reasons, but that would cut into the profits of the IV clinics as the special reclining chairs would be occupied longer. The mineral depletion is a serious concern in IV chelation due to high amount of EDTA molecules not finding enough toxic molecules in the blood and resort to grab a good mineral instead. The rectum is anatomically part of the skin, the last 10 inch, last 20 centimeters, or so. The ingredients are absorbed from the rectum straight into the systemic, whole body circulation, circumventing the liver and avoiding the steps that break down the absorbed ingredients. Transdermal application and delivery could be also good, but it's not realistic to expect a person to keep on the skin for 8 hours an EDTA cream, while the rectum provides that long-term storage for slow, overnight absorption. What is the CAEDTA suppository line? CAEDTA suppositories are made of the active ingredient, calcium disodium EDTA, which is suspended within a cocoa butter base. CAEDTA suppositories are designed to assist with the removal of toxins from the body, and they also help opening up the biofilm communities within arterial plaques and elsewhere. Rectal chelation suppositories are superior to IV or oral chelations. IV is too much too fast, flooding the body, it's overpriced, time-consuming and uncomfortable for the individual, and often people have to travel weekly great distances for finding an IV clinic. Oral chelation is only about 5% effective, forcing the individual to take it for years, and eventually paying more for it for the same amount of removed toxins. Which one is the best chelation suppository and why? Until the availability of CAEDTA detoximin suppositories, IV chelation was considered to be the gold standard in chelation. However, both type of chelation has an important shortcoming: EDTA remains passively in the blood. EDTA doesn't enter the organs and cells and stays only in the bloodstream to pick up the toxins that are already in the blood. This is why the half-life of EDTA is so short, it goes around and leaves from the blood. This limitation has been overcome with the revolutionary new EDTA chelation product, Tox Detox, that has both EDTA and glutathione in synergy, resulting in the excretion of 3 times more toxins, or the removal of the same amount of toxins, compared to an EDTA-only application, in 1/3 of the time. Unlike EDTA, glutathione does enter the cells and actively helps the removal of toxins from within the cells. Tox Detox represents the new gold standard in chelation. Are there any side effects with CAEDTA suppositories? If used as directed and you have otherwise healthy liver, kidney and heart function, there are minimal side effects with the use of CAEDTA suppositories. Rarely, mild headache and tiredness is experienced, but typically only over the first few days or weeks. Softer stool and extra gas is more often reported when the suppositories are used. The Jarisch-Herxheimer reaction is often attributed to the excretion of toxic metals, yet it is increasingly believed that it's a reaction to endotoxin-like products released by the death of harmful microorganisms within the body. EDTA is a strong biofilm disruptor and indirectly contributes to the death of microbes as the microbes become exposed to the immune system, resulting in the killing of microorganisms. It's interesting to note that the Herxheimer reaction is considered an unofficial clinical sign for the presence of Lyme disease by some Lyme specialists. People with compromised liver, kidney or heart function should consult with a healthcare professional before using EDTA chelation suppositories. A better choice for compromised individuals could be the new EDTA chelation suppository with added glutathione due to the organ protective effects of glutathione. Since CAEDTA can absorb some essential minerals, it is suggested to take a multivitamin mineral product on a daily basis. Can anyone use CAEDTA suppositories, including children? Anyone can use the CAEDTA suppositories, provided that is it taken as directed and they have healthy liver, kidney and heart function. Our range of CAEDTA suppositories come in 500 mg, 1000 mg, and 2000 mg CAEDTA in them. This wide range ensures that both children and adults could find their optimal strength of suppository, plus, the individual suppository could be also cut into half by a clean kitchen knife to further increase the options in strength. CAEDTA suppositories can be used by children under supervision of a parent or doctor, following the instructions for usage on the label or as otherwise advised by a health professional. How should I store the suppositories? The suppositories are cocoa butter based and can be stored at room temperature or in the refrigerator. Never put them into the freezer, they might crumble, like a chocolate kept in the freezer. How do I use the suppositories? The recommended use of CAEDTA suppositories is taking one suppository every other night prior to bedtime. Daily consumption of a quality multivitamin mineral product is also recommended, but keep the minerals 6 hours apart from the suppository. If you take a suppository at 10 p.m. when you go to sleep, don't take your minerals later than 4 p.m. There is no known conflict with vitamins or herbs. When should I use it? It is preferred to use the suppositories in the evening, just before you go to sleep. Make sure that you have already gone to the bathroom at least once that day before using the suppositories. The absorption from the rectum is better if the rectum is empty. How long do I have to hold the suppository in? The suppository melts at body temperature and being absorbed overnight as you sleep. A pilot study done in California confirmed the elevated levels of EDTA even in the morning, confirming the slow, overnight absorption. However, the majority of the ingredients are absorbed within the first few hours. What could I do if part of the suppository is crumbled or broke? We use cocoa butter as a base in our suppositories, without any chemical stabilizers. This can explain the rare occasion when a suppository crumble or break. To fix it, simply put the remaining suppositories, still inside their plastic wrapper, in a bowl full of warm water with the points facing down for 5 minutes or until they have become soft. Next, put the suppositories in the fridge for an hour. They will now have reformed and they should be ready to be used. The heating does not affect the ingredients, it was heated as well at the time it was manufactured. If you do not wish to do this, call us and we will replace them immediately. We would rather replace the occasional crumbled suppository than add chemical stabilizers. The pharmaceutical stabilizing agent Methocel E4M was used in the original Detoximin suppositories. Methocel is manufactured by the Dow Chemical Company. Will I feel a mild stinging sensation? Our calcium disodium EDTA, CAEDTA, suppositories don't cause stinging sensation. One of our competitors uses magnesium EDTA, MGEDTA, that causes a painful stinging sensation that is even worse if you have a known, or unknown, hemorrhoid or a rectal fissure. Dry hard stool can also nick the colon and rectum without your knowledge. However, the stinging sensation, experienced when a magnesium EDTA is used, would let you know if you have a small tear or a hemorrhoid. If you want to use a lubricant, you could use Vaseline cream. Some use their saliva to cover the sterile suppository as it is opened from its plastic shell. The suppository base is cocoa butter, like chocolate without sugars. Don't use a heavy coating of Vaseline as it can interfere with the absorption of CAEDTA and glutathione through the wall of the rectum. Will I get leg cramps? No, you will not get leg cramps if you use CAEDTA suppositories. You would get it only if you use MGEDTA suppositories that can fast deplete your calcium levels in the blood, potentially resulting in cramps. Why do I feel like I have to go to the bathroom after inserting it? It's normal to feel a bit of discomfort, especially at the beginning after taking the first suppositories, and to have extra gas and softer stool after taking a suppository. Most people experience these when they go to the bathroom in the morning, after a good night's sleep. Also, the mind is much sharper than usual. Your bowel transit time could be slow. A person can go to the bathroom every day and still be constipated if what comes out is what went in 3 days earlier. If this is the case, you should drink more water, take magnesium supplement, or eat prunes, dried plums, to increase your bowel transit time. You mistimed the suppository and didn't use it soon enough after going to the bathroom. Next time, use the suppository immediately after an evacuation. Staying seated or even better if you lay down for the night would make this easier than walking around. Do not try to hold the suppository in if the urge to evacuate is strong. You could get cramps and nausea from trying to stop the natural peristaltic action of your intestines. Go to the bathroom, and remember next time to insert it after you have already gone to the bathroom. If you get very loose stools after the suppository, you should check to see if you are currently taking excess magnesium in your supplements or from your diet. Focus on lowering your magnesium intake. I feel nauseous, why? You must time the suppository and are trying to hold back passing stools. Another small possibility is that your liver is detoxifying, in which case it should resolve after your first few suppositories. My urine smells unusual, why? What you are noticing is the smell of the toxins leaving your body. This is normal and will pass after your first few suppositories. Will this cause bone loss? Chelation has been shown to increase bone mass 1% per year. As opposed to the usually 1% loss per year, due to the action of the parathyroid gland, the stimulation of the osteoblasts, and the lowered lead and other toxic heavy metal levels, what supplements should I take along with the chelation? Along with the toxic metals that chelation removes, it will also remove some calcium, zinc, and chromium. Compared to IV chelation, only a fraction of the good minerals are removed due to the slow, overnight absorption and the lower level of CAEDTA absorbed. You should take a multi-mineral supplement in the morning or later, up to 6 hours before you take the suppository in the evening. As an example, if you take the suppository at 10 p.m. just before you go to sleep, take the last mineral supplement before 4 p.m. Since only a small amount is removed, any standard multi-mineral product will be sufficient. You could take your vitamins whenever you wish. There is no known direct interference. I have or had amalgam mercury fillings. Any suggestions? Clearly, it's important to remove the amalgam fillings with the help of a biological dentist to reduce the source of mercury exposure of the body. However, some believe that simply by removing the silver amalgam fillings, 50% mercury, the body's mercury load is lowered. This is not true. It's not the mercury which was inside the amalgam fillings and was removed that has caused or maintained the symptoms of the disease, such as fibromyalgia. It's the one which has already leaked out over the years and has already accumulated inside your body that is doing the damage. That bioaccumulated mercury stays there in the body even after the removal of amalgam, unless you go through a full body detoxification program. And it's our experience with our chelation products, based on thousands of successful cases, that you could go through a detoxification protocol even if you still have amalgam fillings. You wouldn't dislodge the fillings simply by detoxing the whole body. Whenever you remove, or rather replace, your amalgam fillings, go through a whole body detoxification before the removal of the amalgam. Please, take this advice seriously. Experience tells us that most persons' mercury and other toxic metals levels are already high when they decide to replace the amalgam fillings. Any spillage of amalgam mercury at the time of removal can push these individuals' mercury levels to a tipping point, leading to clinical manifestations of mercury poisoning. You should avoid this at all cost. The vast majority of people experience mercury poisoning after the removal of their fillings. Often these individuals suffer greatly, stop working, or opportunistic infections emerge both. 1. Due to the seriously compromised immune system and 2. The flare-up of microbes Candida, Lyme, that was under some control previously by the microbe-controlling effects of mercury and other toxic metals. Did you know that doctors treated syphilis by mercury vapor in the time of Mozart in Vienna and elsewhere? And doctors were paid for doing this until the patients died from mercury poisoning. I mention this little-known medical history here to draw your attention to the fact that mercury and other toxic metals suppresses microbes. They are toxic to the body and toxic to the germs. Take stem detox or, even better, prevent. Pro, while you go through your detoxification protocol to keep the germs under check and block them from getting out of control as you reduce your mercury and other toxic metal levels with stem detox, prevent, pro, and tox detox. Over the years it was noted that those who had mercury amalgam fillings for over 5 to 10 years, a series of chelations were needed. 1-4 to 6 months long chelation program is simply not enough. Once the first 4 to 6 months long chelation is over, and having a 6 months break with no chelation, another 4 to 6 month chelation program is suggested. Based on age, the length of time the amalgam fillings stayed in the mouth, the overall number of amalgam fillings, the success of their removal, excellent removal or spilled mercury, and the type of person, fast or slow detoxifier. Yet another 4 to 6 months long chelation is suggested for the achievement of the level of health that is often elusive for individuals with amalgam fillings. Here is a formula that could help you calculate the length of chelation that might benefit individuals with amalgam fillings. Most individuals do chelation for 3 to 4 months. If you have or had amalgam fillings, double the time of chelation to 6 to 8 months. Over the age of 40, add an extra month of chelation for every 10 years, one extra month if you are over 50, two extra months of chelation if you are over 60, etc. Over 5 amalgam fillings, add an extra month of chelation for every 5 amalgam fillings, one extra month if you have 10 fillings, 2 months if you have or had 15 amalgam fillings. Once you have finished with this protocol, wait for a year and repeat it for half of your first chelation protocol. If you do it for 8 months for the first time, repeat a year later for 4 months. And again a year later for 2 months. If you stop early, certainly you have done a lot to decrease your overall toxic load. However, the metals will slowly leach out from your bones and from the matrix to spread out evenly across the body and to reach a new, lower homeostasis. An alternative option could be the long-term maintenance routine when a chelation suppository is used weekly, like on every Wednesday night, for several years. What should I do if I'm interested in chelation due to my concern about atherosclerosis, plaque, or some other conditions? Review the information presented elsewhere at www.oridix.com. That broadens your understanding about the fascinating interplay between toxins, microbes, and the immune system.